First off, I wanted to ask you, it appears that Donald Trump is headed for the nomination at this point. If he is the nominee...
I'll be disappointing you here, because I don't want to have much to say, but I will hear
okay.
you out, sir.
Yeah. No, well, you know, then will you be able to support him if he's the party's nominee?
Yeah, I've spoken at some detail and some length about this. I'll have more to say in coming months, but as you heard me reference during my extended presentation today, yeah. I've got a lot of important priorities right now. U.S.-China competition, national security, our economic health. I'm working on next-gen technologies, making sure all our workers are ready for that. So those are the pressing, substantive challenges that I feel like Hoosier sent me to Washington to tackle, and I'm not going to get too distracted from that. I know the job interview of a president of the United States is fascinating to people appropriately, and that's why I've spoken to it from time to time. But today I want to focus on the real work.
Speaking of the real work, several of your the Hoosier congressional delegation isn't running for re-election, so we'll have new blood in Congress, including another senator. How do you feel about, you know, new blood representing Indiana?
You know, I think anytime you can have new people coming in from time to time, offering new ideas, especially the extent to which the existing people aren't offering new ideas, that's very helpful. I will say that those who are retiring have been very talented. They've been, you know, people who've been constructive, and they're going to be missed. But Indiana has a deep bench, and we're seeing that in a lot of the primary elections. And so I think as I turn back to preparing our workforce, dealing with national security and other issues, I'm going to have some great partners emerge from those elections.
Senator, one of the pieces of legislation you've been working on affects my business, radio, the AM in Every Vehicle Act, which allows the emergency alert system to work the way it was designed and for people like me and Stephanie to do our jobs on the radio. What is your position on that today, and what's the status of it in D.C., more importantly?
Yeah, well, you know, national security and security general, in this case public safety, is arguably the most important function of government, what people look to people like me to focus on. And it seemed to me that this piece of legislation would advance the security of rank-and-file Hoosiers. So I'll continue to work with like-minded colleagues to make this a priority and figure out how we can get it done.
Senator, in speaking of national security, China has been making a lot of noise about Taiwan. Do you think the U.S. is in a position and is strong enough, its Navy is strong enough at this point, to handle a situation if China were to invade Taiwan?
I do think we're strong enough, but we need to convince the Chinese of that. You know, really, you have failed militarily as a country and diplomatically if your counterparties, in this case, as you've contemplated it, the Chinese Communist Party, move aggressively against you or your allies. So we want to deter any sort of conflict or even something short of invasion from happening. A blockade, for example, or an interruption of the supply chains of semiconductors that we are reliant on in Taiwan, which we're trying to account for in the CHIPS and Science Act. So deterrence should be our ultimate objective, and I think we still have some work to do there, which is one of the reasons why it's really important that in coming days Congress supports a national security bill that will fund the freedom fighters in Ukraine, fund our very good friends and allies in Israel, and at the same time make sure that we send weaponry to the Taiwanese so that our men and women in uniform never have to bear the much larger burden of an actual invasion on our Taiwanese friends.
Do we need to increase our military expenditures, seeing that we've sent a lot of material to Ukraine?
Yes.
And as we've mentioned, there's the whole world and Israel as well at this point. Do we need to increase our production of munitions and just some of the very basic things at this point?
we really need to re-energize and rebuild our defense industrial base. The state of Indiana is a manufacturing state. We make a lot of defense armaments, and our people are very talented, and so there's going to be an incredible opportunity for all parts of our state to play an important role in this manufacturing industrial base, defense industrial base rebuild. And that's one of the things I'm focusing on in Washington.
Are you concerned that the administration will be willing to do that?
I'm concerned that both the administration as well as members of Congress, to be fair, on both sides of the aisle, there are members of Congress from this part of the country in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, who, for example, are considering not voting for this Ukraine-Taiwan-Israel bill. I think we need our constituents to understand that so much of that investment will go into restocking our own stockpiles of armaments and rebuilding our defense industrial base in a place like the industrial Midwest. There's jobs and improved standards of living that can be associated with this coming bill. I can't emphasize how important it is.
We've got 2 minutes. All right. Well, I better ask a question. Should John Russ be on the ballot?
Should John Russ be on the ballot? I have not been following that closely. There are legal arguments on both sides that are being considered, and that's for the Electoral Commission to decide, not me.
And then I wanted to ask about, we've got apparently a number of families fighting USCIS. Is there oversight that you're taking part of? Do you plan to have hearings and invite some of these families from Northeast Indiana?
Does this pertain to the international adoptions?
Correct. Yes.
It's a very serious situation. My office has been in direct contact with countless families from northeastern Indiana. Right now, under the existing laws, we're doing everything we can to expedite the process, ensure those families and loved ones can meet with success. We're also taking a look at the laws, though. If you can improve the system so that this never has to happen to other families in the future, we're going to do that.
You talked about certain counties seem the benefits. How can we spread the wealth even more in Indiana?
The benefits? Oh, you're
the economic driver. So I'm jumping all over here.
No, so it's a great question, especially as you talk about the defense industrial base, because the most manufacturing intensive state in the country is the state of Indiana. But the most defense-heavy manufacturing region of this state is northeastern Indiana. So really, if we can make it a national priority to invest in that defense industrial base, we no doubt will have our innovators, entrepreneurs, investors, and rank-and-file Hoosier workers benefiting from those investments.
Anything else? Not for him.
Good.
No. Thanks, guys.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.